they don't want you to know about the Rampage Network. Come apply to the only exclusive webcomic network with over 40 members who are celebrating their 7th year in operation, where only the best and the brightest are accepted. Here at the network, we can manage it all from exclusive ad campaigns throughout the net to complete technical and design support, with our entire purpose being to provide an environment where talented creators will be able to grow without the worries that come from publishing online.
Hello and welcome to episode 99 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com, as well as they are this episode's new sponsors. Well, I guess you only can have one sponsor per episode, but they are this episode's sponsor as well. And if for those who probably heard this on MP3, we had Mark do the voiceover for the little sponsor spot at the beginning of the show, and you'll hear that again later in the show as well. For advertising opportunities, go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise for more information. Anyway, we are not whores here on the Webcomic Beacon. I am the first whore, Festworks at festworks.com. And with us, we have back once again Tanya of betapwn.com. How are you?
I'm okay. Hi. And actually, by the time this is, I mean, not now that it's live, but by the time it's posted, it will be Tanya of daisiesandshit.com.
Awesome. We love some daisies and shit action here.
I'm moving all the archives now. So.
well, welcome back to the show. Hopefully you are not going to fall back prey to, you know, ill conditions.
I hope not. I can't take it anymore.
Aw, hugs. Also on the show, we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome back to the show.
Hello.
How are things going with the Robot Pavilion?
Not too bad. I have several updates over there this week. If anything interesting robot-y grabs me, then I'll post something. I don't generally just post for the sake of posting, though, which some people do. But hey, check it out, the Robot Pavilion with robot-y goodness.
Excellent. And this week, our special guest is Jillyfoo of Demon Eater. And what is the other comic?
Oh, The Planet Closest to Heaven.
Yes, and you can find those at, what are the websites?
Oh, let's just say twistedfleshcomics.com. There's links to both of them.
Well, excellent. Check that out. I had met you once before at FallCon.
Correct.
And you're on one of my interviews, which people can find in the Webcomic Beacon archives now. I added it there. But for those who didn't listen to that, Demon Eater is a drunkduck.com based website, a webcomic that actually won, was it 2008 Horror Comic Award?
This year, 2009, for Best Horror Comic.
Excellent. Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see, well, this week we are discussing, art therapy, because that's apparently what you're going to college for.
Yeah, for a master's degree. My undergrad was art education and art studio.
Excellent, excellent. So, mm-hmm. So we're talking about art therapy. What exactly does that encompass?
Art therapy is art for healing or as healing. And I have like a whole definition here. I got it. Okay. It's not crafts. Martha, you know, crafts is kind of something, it's Martha Stewart, it has to be perfect and not, but art can be like a variety of different things. It's self-expression, you know, it's from your mind to the paper, you know, from what you see in your head. And different kinds of styles and different kinds of things. It could be your own interpretation of beauty. And it could express your feelings, your motivation, your belief, your modes of thinking, and your styles of humor. And it relates to webcomics, too, but I guess I'll talk more about that later. Anyway.
So, as art therapy goes, where is it particularly used as therapy? Like, are there particular instances, or is this as general as you can get as far as
therapy? Yeah, all kinds of places. I'm doing an internship at the Boys and Girls Club of Duluth right now. Other places I've done it is senior living centers and also places where assisted living, where people with illnesses has to do it. And I hear, I know some people that do internships at hospitals as well.
Cool. what was your undergrad?
Oh, art education and art studio. I double majored because, I love the, making art so much. I just kind of, I want to major in art studio too. So it took me another extra year.
Well, all right. Are there, you've spoken about art therapy in general. Are there any particular methods of attack, basically? Or is he just like basically throw a bunch of paper and paint and coloring materials at somebody and say,
Express yourself. Well, some people like to give directives like draw a tree in a person and then they kind of try it, or draw your family or something like that. I myself kind of like to just put the materials down and see what they do with it.
Is there any sort of like things where they do like in kindergarten where they, draw your family, then they look at it, then it's like dad is like huge and has like pointed teeth and, oh wow, there must be something going on at home.
Well, I guess I was gonna, for interpretation and stuff, I know there's like the stereotypical Freudian, thing, but actually, the main interpretation is you ask the kid with the drawing of the fanged dad, what do you, think of it? Because, maybe he's just drawing his dad as a bear that happens to have pointy teeth, and a big cuddly, protective bear. So it's different kinds of interpretations. You have to ask the client what they think of it, because it could be anything,
Right.
I suppose.
My son once, we were called into the office. I guess not the office, but we were called in by the counselor because he drew a nice picture of flushing his dad down the toilet. So, yeah. We knew exactly what he thought about that. It wasn't really much of a mystery, but they thought that they should call that to our attention.
I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't quite... Flushing what down the toilet?
Flushing his dad down the toilet, was it?
Yeah. He drew a picture of flushing his dad down the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Well,
his dad in the toilet and all the little swirlies, and it was a very nice picture.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't draw much, so.
Well, he was expressing his feelings. He's venting,
Yes. Yes, and my son is autistic, so we've done the art therapy thing a few times.
Yep, I saw that from your comic.
Yeah. So we're very familiar with art therapy, actually.
Oh, very cool. I had some notes here. I had in relation to comics and stuff. I thought, since this is comic show.
Ooh.
Oh, here, should I go?
Yeah.
All right. Web comics. The cool thing about web comics is that, compared to people that just do art for fun and stuff, webcomics, you got to keep on making those pages once a week or more. So you keep on drawing. So it's many pictures and drawing. And, more than just a comic, it has storytelling with it. And in stories can be a metaphor for something else. And then one thing that's interesting too about a webcomic is It's done usually, the art and story is done by one person, and so there's less interference with, you know, when you get many people involved, like to make a Disney movie and stuff, it's not just one person's feelings anymore, it's a whole bunch of different people. So you can't really tell which is the corporate, which is the actual self-expression thing. So with webcomics, you have that one person. And as I said before, how to, you know, interpretation, you have to ask the person stuff. Well, with webcomics, you have that rant underneath. So sometimes people will be willing to really, you know, lay themselves out with webcomics. You can really tell a lot about a person, you know, by how much they put up online.
Yeah.
Oh.
Basically, true. Like distilled essence of the person.
What was that?
It's basically distilled essence of the person as shown through the webcomic. The more it is that they do, the more they are revealing themselves through their web design, through their blog posts, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, you kind of have to be a little bit careful about that as well, too, if you're putting your real name out there.
Well, like some of the less brilliant among us. Yeah.
Yeah, some of the less brilliant among us. But sometimes, of course, people are not just doing it as a hobby, and they are doing more, and they try to market themselves. Mm-hmm. So, it's, you know.
Yeah, so it can kind of change. It can change as you grow more as an artist. But I think, you know, sometimes, you know, the beginning artists, when they first start out, you know, they really put themselves out there, even though it's not necessarily that well defined. You know, a young artist, like a kid making a webcomic and stuff, you know, they, you know, it's more than putting themselves out there. They have their Mary Sue and stuff, but they're trying to, you know, figure out themselves and try to put things out. You know, I don't know. I work a lot with kids for, you know, for teaching and things like that. So, you know, it's not necessarily for an audience, but it's for themselves. You know, I don't think they should really, you know, have to worry so much about making a webcomic just to be successful and stuff. You know, just do it because you want to do it. Right. What is that quote from the Gig Cast? It's not what you do to live, it's what you live,
what you
to,
live
do.
To do.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I got out a good amount of rants from that. I got some examples. Should I put that out there? Or?
Yes.
We like examples.
All right. I know, Mark, you, a lot of people compare your comic to Peanuts. And yeah. I read this this autobiography on Schultz, Charles Schultz. It's called Schultz and the Peanuts, a biography by David Michaelis.
Was that the recent one?
Yeah.
That's the recent one.
Yeah. And I found some really interesting stuff that corresponds with how the man was in a strip. He wasn't always the Charlie Brown. He actually was more, who was the kid that played the piano all the time? Was it Linus?
Schroeder.
Oh, was it Schroeder? That's right.
Yeah,
Linus was a dirty one.
Yeah, when he was having difficulties with his wife representation was Lucy trying to get Schroeder away from the piano. And the piano was compared to Schultz in his love of making comics all the time. He was a workaholic. He really worked on those comics, and that's really what he wanted to do. And Lucy was trying to get him away from that, you know, to get the attention on her, but it didn't really work out that well from what I read in the book. And there was another part in there where he was in the hospital. One of the last comics he did was of Snoopy trying to breathe into this ball thing that flies and stuff. It's one of his last.
He was trying to hold a snowball, and the that the dog realized at last that his dad had never taught him to throw a snowball. It was rather chilling.
Oh, yeah, that was one of them, too.
It was narration as well. It wasn't a voice bubble.
Huh?
It was narration. It wasn't a voice bubble also.
Oh, no. It was actually another comic, the one I was describing. It was he was in the hospital. He drew it on the wall, and it was of it was one of those breathing devices where they test your breath and you make this ball fly in this tube. Yeah. But, you know, in the end, like, Snoopy succeeds and he just falls over happy that he did it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it shows, you know, how he's expressing difficulty getting over and when he was sick. Another author. Let me see. I got this. I got one from Superman. I read this book called The Book of Lies. I don't have who it is, who it's by, but it's really good. It was about, like, Superman. And the guy that invented it, Jerry, is it Siegel pronounced?
Yeah, Siegel and Schuster.
Yeah. Was he the writer, Siegel? Well, anyway, the writer, apparently what happened was his father got shot in a convenience store. He ran a convenience store and he got shot. And the government, I don't know if it was the government or the police, they covered up. They told part of the family it was a heart attack and another part that he got shot. And they never really did find it. And when he invented Superman, he originally, the first superpower he made sure he had was that he was bulletproof. Mm. So, you know, it kind of had a connection there. Unfortunately, in the Wikipedia, it doesn't say that. But in the book, they said that at the end of the book, Book of Lies, because the Book of Lies was a fiction of that story. But in the end, the author kind of talked about what was true and what was not true. You know, kind of, I think it was over the controversy with the Da Vinci Code, where the guy was saying, oh, it's all real, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think I got my good examples out there. All right. Any questions? You guys go ahead. Yeah. Oh.
Well,
go for it, Bess.
I don't have a question in particular, but I did want to mention, if, for those who just heard a voice, an ominous voice, that is Jinx Tiger in our chat room. So if you go to webcomicbeacon.com/live, when we broadcast our shows, typically weekly on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern, you can check out our live chat room as we broadcast live. And Jinx Tiger, we're going to be trying this out. Is going to be there and monitoring the chat room and popping in when there are chat room questions, so that we actually have somebody who's paying attention to the chat and bringing up relative information from the chat room when it exists. So,
but that's not an ominous voice. This is an ominous voice. What Fess doesn't realize is that rash is really a terrible disease.
All right.
What's ominous about that is, how would you know he had a rash and where it was?
No further questions.
This is normally where I deny all really attachment
to any
people.
This is where
Fess
denies everything.
What? I'm not paying attention. Anyway, I'm doing a Jinx Tiger, do your job.
You don't want me to repeat what's showing up in the chat room right now.
Oh,
I've asked whether they have any questions. They don't.
One question right there.
Yeah,
Red Tech asks, all right, well, I'm wondering if it's more of a case where the art reflects the artist, or does the complete comic have and the chat room ran out of room to...
Or does the complete comic have a basis, is what it says. Jillyfoo.
What was the question? Yeah.
Okay, I have the pro version, so it's showing the whole thing. Well, I'm wondering if it's more of a case of the art reflects the artist, or does the complete comic have a basis, is what Red Tech asks.
Oh, the complete comic has, or is it the art? It can be both.
Well, there's your answer.
I can understand that. You look at something like Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. Obviously, the comics, by and large, when you read, you know, maybe like the director's cut where all of the comics are put together, you get a very clear understanding of his difficulties being an outsider in society, about how, you know, the kind of injustice about how people who are a little bit different are automatically judged, you know, as unworthy. And then when you look at the artwork, it's very, very harshly drawn. There's a lot of almost like stray lines, you know, jagged edges, things like that. So, I mean, I think that you could get something from both of those. And I think that most of us have seen a comic at some point where the artwork didn't match the feel of the comic. And, you know, a lot of times that comes from when you have a different artist than you do the writer. And so, you know, whatever the writer has expressed emotionally, the artist isn't quite capturing. You know, they're expressing their own emotions based on the same subject. So I can see where you would get it from both.
Or it could be that the writer doesn't have the kung fu to pull off the art.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have any kung fu.
Well,
I have very mild kung fu. No, well, no, but I mean, there are a number of things. You know, a couple of the scripts that I have written are very dark, very serious fictions, and there's no way. You know, I draw very bubbly, kind of cartoony art, and I can't get into, you know, one of the ones I'm writing now it's a horror comic. I can't do that. You know, we're passing that off to somebody else because the feel wouldn't match. But yeah.
Well, the reverse can be true. You could have an artist that really doesn't have any kung fu at storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both would affect that, I would think, wouldn't they?
I would think so. Yeah. You know, my brother draws very eclectic things. Giraffes on fire, Superman overlaid over porn, you know, things like that. And he's very, very good at it. His writing style is actually very, very disjointed as well.
He's having technical difficulties. I believe I'm still on the call. Uh-oh.
You are still on the call.
Did we have technical difficulties?
We're going to take a quick break. Yeah, okay, hang on.
Okay, the chat room has just gone completely mad. I will attempt to entertain people, perhaps, by waiting for Fest to come back.
I am back!
Tanya and so on and so forth.
Oh, shit. We seem to be having some technical difficulties right now with the chat room and talk show, so we're going to take a quick break, figure it out, and we'll be right back.
Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
And we're back. We figured out that the call got dropped from Skype to TalkShoe, but now we're back. And Jilly Fu has been preparing to psychoanalyze some of the host's comics. So take it away, Jilly Fu.
Okay. All right. So who wants to go first?
Well,
we just sit here in stunned silence.
Well, I'm gonna contend that that Mark's might be a little bit more difficult than Tanya's, since Tanya's is a slice of life.
It's a slice of life comic. It's pretty much.
And it's no secret that Mark's a lonely fella.
That's just rude.
I'm a lonely fella.
I am no.
Oi, Michelle is in the bucket and it's all alone. Oh, did I give you a Scottish accent?
Lucky Charms, maybe.
Is that...
I think it's better now.
Okay.
Oh, thank goodness. I was getting all these multiple voices. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, Tanya?
Yeah, go with Tanya.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I did go through it. I think yours is almost... Well, you know, it's a journal comic. I think it's like a classic example of, you know, someone that's really venting, letting it out. You know, you talked about, you know, your relationships. You talked about, going through life with, your son that has... I hate it. Yeah, autism.
Classic autism, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and I thought, oh, it was, oh, I thought the one strip that really stuck out was where you were wearing the pin that says, you know, he has autism, I'm sorry, you know, sorry.
Yeah, he's autistic, what's your problem?
Yeah, I know. And you on your rant, you kind of went on, because, you know, I think that's, you know, you're really trying to express the things that are going on tough in your life, and, you know, and I think I'm already seeing what you'd know, because I remember you said in the therapy thing, you know, because your comic is, you are exploring yourself. You are trying to find out, you know, what makes you tick or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's the gist of what I got for Tanya's beta pwn.
Yeah, it's a self-exploration. It's you know, cleaning out the stuff that's inside. And when you write it all down, it looks different. So, you know, it helps you to kind of figure out what's going on. Yeah.
Okay, who's next?
Gwyneth Mock.
Oh,
Professor,
me?
Such a pussy.
Your comic is neat. It has three different parts that, you know, you kind of change it drastically from three different parts. Oh, we'll go into this.
It's really neat.
Yeah, now the thing is, too, don't be hard on yourself, or don't, like, start, you know, this is not a critique. I'm just going over what I think about, you know, what I think that you might been. Well, anyway, you know, you, well, in the archive stuff, in the little way back stuff, you know, you had your really early strips where you were trying to become a newspaper strip artist. And, you know, your really early stuff was a little bit more edgy. You know, you had the hat that said piss off, and you had, you know, you were, the character Mark was actually fighting back against, you know, his friends and stuff. And then in the really early strips that you put on online, it seemed that the wings were clipped. You know, you were really trying to put it into that box, those boxes that are equivalent to a newspaper comic. And, you know, it kind of seemed to lost a lot of its edge, and you were still trying to explore that. And then you actually, you know, and it's, you know, I don't want to say it, but, you know, the character, you know, he seemed to be getting beat down all the time. All these girls, they just kind of ditch him, and no one really likes him. And, you know, and his friend is all totally into the sci-fi stuff and things like that. And Mark, he's just, you know, he's kind of there, but he's not really into it like his friend. And then, you know, but the thing is with him, though, he seems to have a look toward nature. You know, he's all down and stuff. And then he looks to the sunset, and is like, wow, that's beautiful. You know, that's what makes me feel better. And then you had your second part of your strips where you had the rainfall, and the rain was coming. And this was totally different than the ones that you had before, because you actually seemed to take your time to go and draw these nature scenes. You were really getting into these nature scenes, because that seemed to be the thing that made the Mark character feel much better about himself and life in general. And then from there, you kind of went all into this whole robot thing. Well, you had the dating with the coffee girls, you know, story arc, and then you had the whole robots things, and you really kind of went into the whole interest in sci-fi and things like that. And now this robot guy, you know, unlike the Mark guy, who seemed to kind of give up when he was wasn't getting the girls, this robot guy is really starting to work to try to get this girl to like him. And I find, you know, I really liked how it changed and evolved into this robot lake show. All right. Anyway, you can talk. What do you think, Mark?
Well, the really early ones I did were made mostly just for my friends and stuff. It was always supposed to be a newspaper comic after that. That's why I started making it more newspapery. Because I already had the characters. I just had to put them in the fill in the blanks, so to speak.
Yeah, what I saw from that is when you went to the rain story, I think you accepted yourself as more of a webcomic artist, more than a newspaper artist. You kind of accepted that it has that you might not be able to get into a newspaper. Is that kind of what happened?
Well, no. The Rain was. I started it as a webcomic, and Rain happened maybe, 3 months in? And it just sort of was an idea that I liked as a sort of summer storyline. And every summer I try to do some sort of different kind of storyline. Sometimes they get very long, like the one I'm doing with the robot now, or the trip to the moon. They just sort of go on because they're fun to play with. So they last longer than 3 or 4 months they tend to drag on. But Rain, I had a lot of energy to work on that. I don't think I've had that kind of energy since. That was when I was new to webcomicry, and I really pulled out all the stops on that one. And then the Moon story, that was just a lot of fun to do because the Dennis character, he's supposed to be an inventor, although you never really get to see that as much. And I'm always conscious that I'm not showing that enough. He's supposed to be the Swiss Army knife for anything science. Whether it's computers or biology or robotics or aeronautics, anything that involves any kind of science or engineering, he's supposed to be able to put things together and just build devices that...
Does he convey your interest in sci-fi?
Well, I suppose a little bit. The Mark character is also interested in it. Dennis is the Dennis character seems more interested in real science, although he loves some Star Trek and things like that as well as most people who do any kind of science and especially space sciences are always interested in science fiction. I think so. He definitely, they both have interests in it, but Dennis actually tries to build stuff. His goal is not very altruistic, though. Unlike Gene Roddenberry, he wants to just make everybody happy and everyone can hold hands and buy the world a Coke and sing a song. Dennis wants to build a mankind-saving invention so he can get rich and move out of his mom's house.
I don't think you show too much of him because when you do show him with the inventing stuff, it usually is these long arts like going to the moon or the robot one.
Or the Jenny Everywhere, yeah.
Well, the Jenny Everywhere one was a little short and sweet one. It was actually pretty short, I thought.
Wasn't
it?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't like overarching like the moon or the other thing. But if you focused a little bit more on it, it might be too much because you have a whole cast of a whole cast. You touch on them just enough, personally.
I will tell you something interesting about this comic that I realized a while back. That is completely, absolutely, completely organic and not anything I planned in any way. And that is that every character has lost at least one parent, if not both.
Huh.
So Mark lives alone. He doesn't seem to have any family. Dennis lives at home with his mom, so you can assume that his father's passed away, which has not happened in real life, thank goodness, because the real Dennis's dad is awesome. Lindy has lost both parents. Leonard lives with his mom, so he's lost his dad. Christine doesn't seem to talk about her mom. If she talks about her parents, it's always her dad, so there's a supposition maybe she doesn't have...
Are they all adult characters?
They're all adult characters, although Leonard acts rather like he's much younger because that's how his brain is wired. He's probably the youngest of them, but they are all adult characters. Sherm never talks about his family, but he's so grouchy he probably doesn't have any. maybe he has like cousins or something like that, you know, but not a mom or dad around.
All right.
And, I think... Yeah, it's just pretty much all of them have lost at least one parent, if not both.
All right.
That's interesting.
Which what about you, Mark?
Which is weird.
Do you have your parents still around? Or
yeah,
do you like that they're still around, or is this some sort of like?
twisted wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad they're still around.
Well, you observed them lose, you know, your grandparents, maybe.
Maybe, but yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to tie into my life necessarily that I could see any reason why that would be, that all the characters would be in that situation. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that they all...
Yeah.
Well,
Should we move on to Fess?
Well, I just wanted to say real quick, it's possibly a sort of... maybe you feel detached from your parents a little bit, or maybe if you have more of a connection with one or than the other. I'm not going to, in case your parents listen to this thing, I'm not going to bring it out, but I'm pointing that out as a possibility, but I have no idea.
I know, I'm fairly detached from family, always have been. But
it could be that simple.
Yeah, it could be that simple.
Maybe, but it's certainly not any angry thing like, that'll fix mom for that time she told me I couldn't ride my bike on Wednesday. There's nothing like that I can think of. But it's interesting.
Well, alrighty.
Yes.
Let's confess.
So how long is the show? Because
it's got 258.
Well, see, I'm kind of curious to see how much you're going to get right.
Oh. I think you should lay down on the couch, Bess.
So I'll just let you do your spiel and then
we're in
then
for the long
ahead.
Haul.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, all right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I'm totally awesome. You have a rat as okay. Well, anyway, I used to have pet rats. So those rats are awesome. I'm sorry. Yay. Okay. Well, anyway, well, you have like two, you know, you start off with kind of, you know, the story, pretty much a webcomic. And then I think the thing is with you is you like to connect with other people. So you have this webcomic beacon and you started out as, you know, a webcomic. And then I think you wanted to connect with other people. And so you got all these people to do a, you know, to work together to make your other stories. You know, other artists were putting together stuff for your stories. I don't actually know offhand if you had just written the whole script and had them do the page. But from what I saw, and I also saw that you kind of picked and choose, you know, you picked the ones that, you know, the webcomics you liked. You know, you even had a point with Jack in there, too. So, you know, you really had, you know, you really like to connect with other artists. And I think what happened was now that you're through all this, I remember you mentioned you want to redo the crossover arcs. Now, I think is, you know, you got Jenny everywhere, you got all, you know, you got the webcomic Vegan, you got all these things where you can now, you know, connect with people not just through the comic. So I think what you want now is that now that you talk to all these people, you're kind of seeing, you know, I can do it by, you know, by myself and still be able to connect with other artists. Is that what, that's what I got from it. What do you say?
Is that, that's it? From 326 pages. That's it.
Come on,
did you pick up on any validation whore in there?
No. I just want to make sure that's it before I start going into explaining things.
To want to connect with other people. Yes.
Okay. If that's it, then I'll go into the beginning.
He'll go into it. Okay. All right. Go.
I originally started PSI. Which is called a pessimistic Sense of Inadequacy, as a very self-depressing comic, or it was supposed to be. What you don't see is a few deleted strips are from the beginning, which basically are about me making a webcomic, and from the new archive I took those out, because they break the story too much of what eventually turned into a story. It was supposed to be gag a day, mostly insult me a day, and then it turned into longer and longer connected jokes that if fuck it, you know, I'm going to do a stories. So then the camping one originally was supposed to be like 8 to 10 strips, which turned into like 50 strips or something.
I thought it went really well.
Well, it was all not really planned. I had a couple of points I wanted to hit, and then it was just like, just left. I just basically impromptu made the comic for the longest time. And part of what I originally wanted to do was to make a comic in which I would be doing cameos and hopefully crossovers with other comics that I liked. And it was mostly, and also try to like maybe take another comic and make a joke that they wouldn't tell. So very, all this very naiveness about how webcomics work. And of course, I was really anal about trying to grab permission for every single character I got. And I did get permission to use Jack in the comic as well, because I really liked Jack, and I thought that was like a really cool and it's like, because you know, he's a really badass, you know Reaper basically, and I needed that. And later, as in now, I finally am coming out with my world's own Reaper, because if I ever want to print anything, I practically can't use anything, because I have too many cameos and crossovers, and that's just a nightmare. Plus, it's all a different format, etc., etc. But when you're talking about the connecting with people, yes, that's true. And then when I got to the crossover wars, and you see, like, because in the archive I have up now, you actually see. So you see some strips that other people did that are in my archive. I previously had them linked out and people come back, and it's too confusing, so I made them all right within the archive so people could see them. And yes, they were crossovers in which we coordinated alternating pages, which is typically what you do in a crossover, a direct crossover, is you typically alternate pages. Or sometimes it was a couple of pages. When I get to the mall and I'm working with Blades of Toshipi, and also the Kamiks, it turned out to be a three-way crossover. Because Blades and I had a crossover, and Toshipi, Blades and I had a crossover, Blades and the Kamiks had a crossover, and I know I needed to get back with the Kamiks to close the plot hole. Well, not really a plot hole, but make something come full circle. So we ended up doing a three-way. So it alternated, and when I tried to coordinate some of it, and partly was because we all had things that we needed to do. So the ones were like, say, if PSI needed to tell more story for itself, I would draw it, and when Blades needed to tell more story for its purposes, they would draw it, and so on. So you put the writing where the emphasis is on who's going to be drawing it. And back with the crossover wars, that was mostly a script that I had, because it was already kind of written what was supposed to happen, or mostly what was supposed to happen, and I could take little liberties here and there. So it very much depends on when you get to that. And I love doing the cameos and crossovers, but why I want to redo it all is try to basically take the first 300 pages and sort of like rework it into a self-contained something so I could have a little like. So I can print something out and say, this is mine, you know, but continue doing the cameos and crossovers online because that's fun. But I have a complete, almost a complete plan for how I'm going to make the entire world stand alone enough so I could, like, you know, make my own little print and, you know. But that's basically my response.
And when are you going to get to the...
There, actually.
When are you going to get to the fifth day?
Interesting observation to it.
The fifth day?
The fifth day. Hey, the Galaxian is only a few days and that's been going on for five
years.
That's
Ardra creator had that one. There's an interesting observation that has to do with it, actually, which is this. Bess's self-insertion characters are not the Mary Sues of his own comic. They do not take center stage and run everything and solve all the problems themselves. The cameo characters will often be solving problems and taking a large amount of initiative.
Ah, interesting. That's an interesting way of putting it. Yes. The characters in PSI, well, technically, there's Fess, which is not supposed to be me anymore, but kind of is.
Still kind of is.
But
yeah, it still kind of is.
Because the reason why I have Fess and Fessworks, because he was too in, and I needed an actual author character. To direct the comic from outside for the crossover wars specifically. And he wasn't even Fessworks, so to speak, was never ever supposed to be in the comic. Not the canon comic, but with the crossover wars, he had to be. So it kind of threw me for a loop whenever. But yeah, like a lot of the main cast characters are some facet of a personality of mine. Becky, actually, which is not she's a mascot. She's not really a character in any comic really right now, though she's had a couple of cameos. Becky represents...
I count Ernst in that as well. Ernst, I also count as one of those characters that are very close to you. Seems like Nemi, maybe not so much. Becky is more of a sort of plot device and doesn't seem to be central to plots and things that are going on.
No, but Becky's not actually in PSI. Well, she has a cameo in PSI.
Exactly.
But we're talking about PSI specifically. But yeah, Ernst is actually actually more based off of my brother. But he's also based off of he's like half based off of my brother, half based off of me.
The rat?
Yeah, Ernst.
Awesome.
The rat, yes.
Because I was trying to figure out what furry character did I want to be, and Rat was one of them.
You didn't have a pet rat?
I had pet mice at that time.
Ernst is from the Freud patient Ratman.
Actually, Ernst was given to me by a group of people from a forum I used to visit all the time, a gaming forum. I did not name him Ernst. Ernst was named for me. I had the rat character originally. And I had no idea about the Freudian connections other than it was named after a patient called Ratman that he nicknamed Ratman, whose actual name was Ernst. So I went with that. So the actual one, which was recently, I figured out, oh, wow, that's kind of gross, of what his problems actually were are completely unrelated because I had no idea about all of that. So really, Ernst is one of the very few names of the characters in the comics that I did not come up with and do not actually have a real meaning other than Ratman is what he was based off of. And it worked for that instance. But every other name in the comic, basically I spent a long time thinking about some sort of meaning for it.
Have you considered maybe that the 20-minute diatribe you've gone into to make sure we all understand might have something to do with a touch of insecurity? Maybe a little bit?
Well, since the comic is named A Pessimistic Sense of Inadequacy, I don't think it's quite a secret.
I'm not claiming that, you know, these are genius powers at work here. I'm just maybe pointing that out. That, wow. Calm down. We like you. It's okay.
It's in character, actually. It's in character with somebody who's could be centralized to running a big podcast and gathering a lot of people together, because you can't really be central to something like The Beacon or whatever if it's all a big self-insertion in which you have to run the whole show. Giving other people a forum to run their mouths and be interesting and such is kind of primary to that particular role. So if that's the comic actually reflects other things like the podcast.
Well, you see, all that everything else didn't come until at least a year and a half after I started.
It doesn't
PSI.
Matter. It's all still part of you.
But really, PSI isn't really what it is anymore. I mean, I try to have some sort of rhyme and reason to it, but it's evolved so far beyond, and I really should have renamed the comic like the first arc. I should have renamed it.
I think a guest has lapsed into stunned silence at this point.
I just needed to say one last thing. I wanted to mention Becky Beacon was basically just a face for a while until I tried to develop a character for her from the character depth episode of the webcomic Beacon, where she's standing in the very, very, very shallow part of the pool, kind of looking disgruntled because she's very shallow of a character until I developed more. And she is a mute. And she's kind of a mute by choice. I mean, she has the capability to speak technically, but she really doesn't. And I'm saying that it has to relate to stuff with her father back when she was a kid and everything. But basically, she's mute, so she doesn't really speak. She knows sign language and such. And she's kind of like, she has really long hair, so she can hide behind it and sort of saying, Becky. As I developed her as a voiceless character, so to speak, she represents a lot of my need or desire to be able to shut the fuck up every once in a while and just, you know, stop, you know, getting into trouble and such. So
Archer creator has observed
that he thinks Fess got involved with Archer just because the characters are so damned much different than his, says Archer creator.
Actually, I don't really remember why I got involved with Arja, other than, hey, I wanted another project.
to validate oneself through work.
I think there's one thing you could do that would solve all the myriad of issues with PSI, and it's very simple. Ooh. All you need to do is you just start out, and there's Fess, and he wakes up, and he hears something. Here's something. What's going on? And he goes and opens the bathroom door and finds Bobby in the shower, and you could just start all over again fresh. There you go.
No, I would never pull anything like that.
The Dallas boy.
Just start over.
Say it all was a dream.
I'm a Newhart show.
Somebody's taking a snow globe somewhere, and it was all imaginary.
That, you know, was actually I really enjoyed that in St. Elsewhere. Nobody else did, but I really liked that, where it was all just an autist's imagination.
I'm curious about what your take, Jill. I'm curious what your take is on self-insertion characters.
Hang on. We have to go to break first. So we'll go to break, and when we come back, we'll approach this right away.
Right away.
Okay.
They don't want you to know about the Rampage Network. Come apply to the only exclusive webcomic network with over 40 members who are celebrating their 7th year in operation, where only the best and the brightest are accepted. Here at the network, we can manage it all from exclusive ad campaigns throughout the net to complete technical and design support, with our entire purpose being to provide an environment where talented creators will be able to grow without the worries that come from publishing online.
Reach the audience. Reconnecting to the webcomic beacon.
Well, the talk show recording is mostly for the note taker, George Warden, who does Dungeon Legacy, dungeonlegacy.com. So he can do the notes. If it screws up, then I have to do the notes. But we really haven't had too many links, basically, is what he does. He catches all the links and such. All right. Wait, I'm going to check a couple of things in chat. They're talking about me.
It's nothing so important that I had to repeat it.
What are they saying?
I got involved with RJ because I kind of was looking for a new... something to draw, something different, just, you know, just where I didn't write it and I just drew something. So that's, I remember that's why I got involved with something, and that was something that presented itself. So that is actually really why I got involved with it. But also it was a good, the characters were great and everything. So
I think somebody convinced us that web comics and podcasting were just like rock and roll, and we'd get all kinds of hot chicks and money and the jet setters and all that.
Really? Did anyone think that?
I think they lied to us. I don't know.
Rocking at home in front of the computer.
This is a masturbatory lifestyle. When we get right down to it, it's either mental or physical masturbation at any given time or level.
No.
You can rock without leaving your couch.
Okay, I need to clarify something. Jason, no, Ardra is not indirectly responsible for Nemi being possible. Nemi was planned for like 50 strips before she actually came out, before I started working with Ardra. I always had a woman character planned. It just didn't come out early enough.
Because, of course, we wouldn't want anyone to have any sort of false assumptions.
Well, true. I mean,
I'm making fun of you.
It's the thing. I really wanted a female character. I really wanted a female character in PSI. It just took too long to bring her into story-wise.
Honey, I'm making fun of you. Let it go.
No,
it's okay.
I can't do that. Anyway, Jillifu, you had comments on self-insertion of
characters.
Oh, correct. There was, all right, a long time ago, I saw on the Disney Channel, there was this mini-series about a real-life story of this kid with cancer, and he ended up writing this huge epic story while he was, going through all this, where he was a knight and he had to fight this witch. I don't know what the name is of that show or the movie at all, but, you know, the self, and he was... basically, it could be a metaphor, like he is fighting the cancer and the witches, you know, and the in the movie, they were going in between him and real life and then in between his character. And now when they were in the fantasy world, he was basically this knight and he was taking care of everything like no problem. But in real life, he was suffering and it was not very good. Now, with some webcomics, I know as an audience, as a reader, I'm just like, I don't know, I can really take it that well. But for the artist that is, doing those kind of a character that just is taking care of things, you know, it might not necessarily be like that in real life. They're struggling, but you know, the character is like their hero or the personification. Oh, that it's, you know, they can look to that person or that, you know, it's the archetype like of a hero and good things, even though in real life it's not necessarily that. Yes, go ahead.
There's a big difference between people's image of themselves and their idealized image of themselves. And the bigger discrepancy there is, the more there's a drive to create this Mary Sue-like wonderful character.
Right.
And it's amazing and astonishing and with all these powers and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Now, I know that, okay, with the Mary Sue character, usually this is, you know, younger authors or beginning authors, but once they actually start getting more confident in their writing and realize that themselves, you know, I have my flaws, but it's okay. That's what makes me cool and different. Then they'll maybe start making characters with flaws and they realize, oh, that, you know, that makes them interesting and fun, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, something that's highly encouraged, but, you know, for kids, for little kids that write stories, you know, it's
cool, powerful.
You know? Yeah, encourage, you know.
Yeah.
I do want to have an episode.
I know one of the things
point.
That I do frequently is, I'll in the comic, certain things in my life are treated sort of cavalierly, as though they're just sort of a punchline and that's the end. And in real life, they really freaking suck. And so it's one of the ways that I kind of deal with it is to, you know, at least in some form, there's part of me somewhere that's going through these things and it's just a bump in the road and it's not, you know, as crippling as it might be in real life. So there is a lot of power in that fantasy and in placing yourself in a situation where you kind of have control of everything. Everything's okay.
Oh, yeah. You're taking control of your reality. You're...
Yeah.
What is that existential thing?
We have to be able to imagine a reality before going there.
Oh, yeah. But what is that thing where you think and therefore you are?
That was
a lot of truth to that.
Descartes.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
It was Descartes' proof for existence. I think, therefore, I am.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't think I have any Mary Sues, but... Just trying to think, is my Mark character is sort of me, but he isn't me.
I hope not.
he's better off than me in some ways, and worse off than others.
Because he's making a living off of comics?
Yeah, so I guess he's better off in some ways.
There's a whole angle where you can have a guy that's very flawed, but if you feel like, oh, nobody allows me to be anywhere, there's no place that's really my home or where I'm welcome, you make a comic strip world in which the same very flawed person shows up in the comic strip world, but that's where they live. So they do have a place where they absolutely belong.
Yeah.
But that's more direct. Yeah, that is self-insertion, though. Not necessarily making a Mary Sue character of yourself. That's more literal
self-insertion. Well, but we started out by talking about self-insertion.
True. But I would like to have a different episode.
Anti-Mary Sue.
Anti-Mary Sue. I would like to have a different episode somewhere down the line where we talk more specifically about self-insertion and Mary Sue's. And Jilly Fu, you'd be more than welcome to come back on that show.
Oh, certainly.
In fact, if any time you would like to, look at one of the major popular webcomics and psychoanalyze those on the show for us, that could be fun. We could do that like maybe once a month or something.
It's a possibility.
I'll present that to you, and then we can get back to it later. But what we got to do now, we got to get to the news. So You're welcome to stay on for the news, too, since we're already into the news segment. But again, this has been Jilly Fu of TwistedFleshComics.com.
Mm-hmm. Or www.demoneater.com, too. It's another hosting. Anyway, right. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Do you want to stay on for the notes, or do you want to get going?
Huh?
Do you want to stay on for the notes, or do you want to get going?
Oh, I'm just going to mute and listen.
Well, all right. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show once again. Check out her websites at demoneater.com or twistedfleshcomics.com.
Very cool.
Awesome. Very, very fun and very interesting. And let's see, we got to do some news before we get out of here because we, I mean, a great topic. I was worried about we were going to not have enough time. We were going to have too much time, but we ended up picking it up in the second segment. All right. Here we go.
I'll be in the shower. I'm telling you, it'll work.
All right. There's a few things of news that we have to go over because I in about 40 minutes I have to do another podcast for the Rampage Network. But
which might be another one of those validation through work.
No, I don't have any sort of It's just I want to do something good, you know.
This is an enabler.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Okay.
Hey, I was in
the corn dog. It's just a corn dog.
Yeah. I was in severe depression when I made PSI, and actually brought me out of depression. So there,
which is good.
But anyway, moving on. We have the Webcomic Beacon and Wagon Webcomic Battle Trading Card Game Contest, where we ask people to draw art for the Webcomic Beacon official plot device card for the Wagon Webcomic Battle Trading Card Game. And that had officially ended when we started broadcasting live. And right now, if you go to webcomicbeacon.com/cardcontest2009/vote, you will have until December 5th to vote on the... Well, we actually did have 10 entries, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 entries for you to vote for your top two entries. Any ties will go to a standoff lightning round. But go ahead and click on the images, and they should pop up a larger version of that image. You can see the art more clearly than the thumbnail that is presented. Vote for your top two. The absolute winner will receive two copies of the promotional card of which their art is going to be used for, as well as the new Delta deck, which will be... They'll be taking pre-orders soon, I believe, if not now. Everyone else who has entered will get a copy of the special promotional card as well. I can't afford more than that this year as for stuff. So, see, this is the thing. I spend a lot of my own money on all these projects that I do, which is why I did spruce up the site a little bit and add the advertise section so people can buy sponsorships. In fact, this episode of the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you by the Rampage Network, which some of you might have heard from the commercials. Well, the 30-second spot at the beginning and a 30-second spot in between the break as well. And we're still going to continue to do with our Project Wonderful ads, but if you want more information about sponsoring an episode and everything that goes with that, check out webcomicbeacon.com/advertise. For now, we still are going to mention the Project Wonderful advertisers on the air, and right now, who has our leaderboard, our tower, as well as the banner that goes on the bottom of every individual post, is Jaden and Crusader. Once again, thank you very much for advertising on our show. This is Jaden and Crusader, Jaden at jadenandcrusader.com. So go ahead and check that comic out. In fact, they are also one of are one of the entrants of the contest that we have. And for those who want to check out that the contest again, that's at webcomicbeacon.com/cardcontest2009/vote. I removed all of the names and replaced it with like entry one, entry two. So people just go in, visually look at. So we'll probably lower sniping, vote sniping, hopefully. But a lot of great entries and all a different style, too, of really great different ideas and everything. There is one with Becky Beacon with a microphone, and we can just say that she's, you know, playing around since she doesn't really speak, so as discussed already. But go ahead and check those out, and these are all these arts will be used as a Webcomic Beacon cover down the line at some point when we don't have a guest doing the art as well. But so that's really great. So we got a stock now of art that we're going to be using for the show covers. So that's exciting for me and hopefully for others.
And if you pledge at the $100 level, you can get this nice, high-quality tote bag. Oh, no, never mind.
No, there's no tote bag.
No, but if something like that happens, I would be sure to make and get them a T-shirt. T-shirts are something that I'm wanting to work on. I basically, try to make the Becky Beacon, signal shirt available for people who want those. I would like to do some pre-orders for that, but it's really hard coming up with the shirt color, which I'd be using. But with the company that Tanya has pointed me to, I might be able to make any shirt color. So black would be an option as well, which would probably look really cool. This would be silk printing. So I want to get some interest on that. So I will probably be starting a post in our forum. If you go to webcomicbeacon.com/forum, you should be able to find that information, as well as the holiday cooking compilation project. We presently only have one entry right now, and that is by The Best Effect. And I kind of snagged an image and used it as the basically image for the holiday cooking project. If you go to webcomicbeacon.com/holiday-cooking, you can find out some more information about it, as well as the link to our forum about it. You can also look at the sidebar of our website at under projects. You'll see Webcomic Bacon and Holiday Cooking Collaboration Project. If anybody has anything from a strip to a few pages of anything that could be used for holiday cooking, whether it's a recipe or some jokes, we want to make a compilation book, and everyone involved will be able to buy as many copies at base price and shipping as they want, and be able to sell on their own. We'll come up with like a predetermined price that everyone should be able to sell at, and basically make the money on their own by selling for a little bit of profit or something like that. So, but this is something I really want to do. I've got at least a 4-page thing for Fest and Ernst to make pancakes, and it's so funny in my head. I hope I can bring it to the paper.
Okay.
But
so there.
But Mark, Tanya, I both want you guys to get on this as well.
As soon as I can see again.
Yes.
I'll get on that.
But Mark, you got cooking already. You got a cookbook already.
Yeah.
So if you got something you can contribute, that'd be great. I'm still not entirely sure if we're gonna be showing it online. If anything, we might be showing it like in a scrunched down, like a very small version, a mini version. So it's not all that great. It's kind of hard to see, but you'll at least get the idea. And then we'll make people buy it. And
you will buy it if you want to learn about how to cook my stuff.
Yeah. But so that's kind of like the idea and driving force behind this whole idea. And we want some more people to get in on this as well. And there's just a lot of new stuff that I'm going to be trying to formulate and make sure we come out in the coming months, especially next week when we have our celebration of 2 years, 100 episodes. This will be awesome. I'm going to get Jules Rivera on the show. I'm going to get Bar One, who does the what is it? Peter's the Wolf, and of course Jules Rivera, who does March Rocket. And I'm going to try to get a couple of other people in there, and it should be just a fun time. A couple of tweaks to the website, which people can check out right now, is that let's see here. At the very top, you can see Listen Live on Sundays link, the RSS and iTunes link, episode archive link, as well as advertising link. And then on the extras, which is the main side panel, is all the other stuff, including check out the About Us and links, which are links that we've prominently had on the show before. Or check out our Twitter page at twitter.com/webcomicbeacon. There's also a link to our Facebook fan page, which a bunch of people have already been getting the links. Basically, Facebook goes into your Gmail account and sends an email out to everyone or whatever. So you can check out we now have a Facebook page, which is kind of tied to our Twitter page. So if you get double the notices, well, sorry, I'm still trying to figure it out. But
you know, it's a hazard of social media.
Yep. So,
you know what would be some great merchandise we could sell?
What?
I think we should have a Fess bobblehead.
Oh, God.
I think that'd be great.
I think it would be great.
Because it would sort of be like the real Fess.
I'd rather have a Becky. I don't like putting myself out on everything. Damn
well,
it.
But
that's why I make.
I'd rather watch your head bobble around than Becky's.
But Becky's cuter.
Maybe we could make another part of it bobble, and then we could sell even more.
Fess works or Fess?
The actual
Fess.
Is it the same?
Works, definitely.
It's the same person.
The loaded furry conventions. It'd be great.
The furry Fess.
Fess works. It's too complicated. They shouldn't have had the same name. Fess works doesn't even sound like a name. It's for all intents and purposes, Fess. I'm Fess. My company is Fessworks LLC. So yeah, I'm Fess.
I could totally see it though.
I think it'd be funny.
When any login requires more than three letters, then I'm Fessworks.
Then maybe we could have a Tanya bobblehead too.
Tanya
would have to be bobble boobies.
Bobble
yeah,
boobies.
I was going to say.
Bobble.
But it would have to be built boobies. So it doesn't really bobble well.
Yeah, it just falls apart.
I'm sure Tanya bobbles wonderfully. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
I'm sure she does too. I'm just saying. It would be like a smash-up derby bobblehead.
Oh.
Where it just falls apart.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to be caught between the bobbles, or you could have serious injury.
That's possible.
It is. They're dangerous.
I don't know.
What a Mark bobblehead would look like. He'd have to look like Comic Mark.
His little head would just stay down.
It would. It would.
No,
really
no.
Bobble back
it
up.
Wouldn't bobble
and it just
at all. It would
melt down. And then a tear would come out.
No. Oh, God. That's terrible.
The bobblehead Mark that just kind of sits there. Scrape for a little bit every now and then.
Yeah, or maybe like its right foot could bobble. You know, it would kind of shift back and forth in the dust.
No, no,
it's a bit risque though.
What's the
bobblehead pre-broken?
Pre-broken. That's terrible, but awesome. No, I was going to say you wanted a Leonard bobblehead because that'd be the most appropriate. Only like the spring is like three times as much.
Boing.
A Sherm bobblehead would be all right. He's got that grumpy look and his head bobbles.
Like he's...
Bobblehead, nobody buys bobbleheads anyway.
You can get bobbleheads made, but they're ungodly expensive.
Yeah, they're
not cheap at all. There would be like a four-year running pre-sale. Before we can afford.
Make your own, like a craft.
It'll be an interesting craft.
Yeah, it's like a couple hundred bucks to make one.
I could make you one bobblehead out of
milk carton.
Like I could do it like out of Sculpey. I could make you one decent bobblehead, but after that, this is like way too much work.
Do you know the guy that does Milo the Cloud?
No,
had these things he made out of epoxy, like little cloud paperweight things.
Oh yeah. There's a chick on my Twitter, Gen Xer. She does resin casting. Maybe she could do a resin cast of.
That would be neat to figure out how to do that, and then we could make bobbleheads. What do you think?
Resin cast, like the little figurines?
Figurines? Sort of little fuzzy
figurines.
Resin's
would be kind awesome.
Of toxic, though, too. You got to be careful.
That's why we'll have Fess make them.
Yes.
Don't lick it.
Fess has the room.
Gases, casting and fiberglass things can be very dangerous because it produces large amounts of poisonous gas.
Oh.
Well, that totally ruined the funny and fun, so. Well, whatever. But anyway.
So you're volunteering to make them for us. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the Sherm bobblehead can be made out of fiberglass and poison everyone.
Right, because it's angry.
Sounds like Jinxie there is volunteering. Works for me.
Well, in any case, we do have a couple of milestones to go over before I forget and end the show. If anyone remembers Dreamland Chronicles at thedreamlandchronicles.com, that has hit 1,000 strips, so congratulations.
Yay!
Spud Comics at spudcomics.com has hit 1 year. And Rival Angels at rivalangels.com has hit 300 strips. This is the... I can't tell if this is based off of the video game or not.
I don't know.
Which is basically women wrestling for the sake of women wrestling, I suppose. I haven't really read the comic, but
I don't know that you
apparently
really
there's
need
some
it.
Story.
Read it.
Yeah.
Who needs to read the comic?
Because there's too many word balloons
you can
on the way.
Just look at it.
All right.
I think women wrestling for the sake of wrestling is good enough.
Please send all your feminist hate mail to Tanya Higgins.
Yeah, actually, you can get me at creator@betapwned.com. That's creator@betapwned.com. Please keep in mind it takes me a few months to respond because I get so very much of the feminist hate mail. It takes me a while to get through.
We should have you read some of it on the show sometime. Just for laughs. But
actually, I haven't gotten it for a long time.
Okay,
people
fine.
Gave up on me.
Well, okay. In any case, we do have to end the show, but this has been episode 99 of the Webcomic Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week when we have our 100th two-year episode.
Woo! Boy.
A big Webcomic-a-palooza blowout. Sale
of
awesome.
Stuff with my girl crush.
Yeah,
she'll be here.
Yeah. So, in any case, be sure to go to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar for information on upcoming episodes. Because we are now, I am now starting to schedule ahead, and it's working out great. So, go ahead and check that out, as well as click on advertise to see which episode to advertise on upcoming episodes as well. This has been Fess of Fessverse.com.
This is Tanya of daisiesandshit.com.
This is Mark of autumnlake.com.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Have you got iTunes yet?
Oh, no. That's not on.
Oh, so you have a ways to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before you're fully assimilated.
Right. In any case.
We'll work on him.